Right, listen, what I'm about to teach you is going to be so simple, yet so powerful, but you will think it is too good to be true. I'm going to say that again. What I'm about to teach you on how to see angels, it is so simple that you're going to say, this is too good. It is too good to be true. And the simplicity of the message is to ensure that you can partake of the events being discussed. And so that by revelation and knowledge, you can become partakers of these events. By revelation and knowledge, that you will see a manifestation of the words going into this atmosphere. There's only a few that's with me already. But nonetheless, you will see tonight. Are you guys with me? Amen. I'm just going to get into it. So that I again don't get caught with time again. Put on the screen for me Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22, New King James. And it is not what you think. Amen. How to see angels. We have discussed in part one their nature. In part two, we've discussed rank, different types of angels and functions. I believe that you have enjoyed last week evening. Amen. Do I have some people with me tonight? I can only give to the extent that you draw it out of me. And I got a message for you tonight. Are you guys with me? We're going to go deep. I hope that we've got spiritually mature people. Amen. I almost look like an angel on the screen. Why is you getting so excited about that? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22 and it says, listen, I'm just excited as you understand, but you have come to Mount Zion. I want you to get something. It's very simple. I'm going to give you, I want to say keys, but it's not keys, it's one thing, but I want you to get it, and I can make it quick. I can make it like 10 minutes, but I want to drag it out so that you can properly understand what I'm trying to say. Are you guys with me? And so it says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Let's leave it there. To an innumerable company of angels. I state again that someone tonight is about to shift location. Where they're about to step from a natural location and enter a supernatural location to experience something else. Are you guys with me? Let me explain what I mean by that. How many of you can remember last week, Sunday evening, when we spoke about the different angels, when we explained the cherubim, that their main function is to protect the presence of God? Cherubim. Which means that where there is a manifestation of His presence, that the cherubim are also there because they must protect His presence. How many of you could feel His presence in worship? Guess what? You were worshiping with the cherubim, because where His presence is, they must be there also. So how is it possible that I can physically be standing in the location, but yet my spirit man is partaking in something else in another location? Amen. You will find that in biblical times, that the engagement with angels, I'm speaking right through Old Testament, through New Testament, the engagement with angels was more common than you think. And we've given you now many examples through the last two series. Listen, if you have missed part one and two, it is available on the Encounter Now app, and you can get all of it. I want to encourage you to go listen to it. Otherwise, If you have missed part 1 and 2, I don't really want to say this, but you might struggle with tonight. But it's going to be simple. But it's normally the simple things that is difficult to accept. It is like grace. People want to accept the fact, which is not a fact and which is not a truth. Let me rather rephrase. People want to believe that they can lose their salvation. People want to believe that they can go to hell. It's so simple. The gospel is so simple. Grace is so simple. But people battle with it. Are you guys with me? And so it's the same with tonight's message. It's very simple. It will take a mature ear to understand this. Are you guys with me? I say again, through biblical times, the engagement with angels was a natural and common occurrence. Here we've got Peter, and he's in prison. And the Bible says that suddenly an angel came to him and loosened him from his chains, picked him up, and made him free. Not set him free. It made him free. It walked him right past the other guards to the city gates. And when Peter came to Mary's house, he knocked on the door. And the Bible says that a little girl opened the door. She heard Peter's voice. She opened up and she saw Peter. Shut the door, ran inside and told the disciples, Peter is outside. They say that, listen, you're out of your mind, thinking he's still in prison. And they responded with the following. It must be Peter's angel. How is it possible? It says in the scripture, to an innumerable company of angels. Why does the church in this day and age not see angels? How is it that only a few can speak on angels? How is it that only a few can share their testimony of the encounters and the engagement that they had with angels? How is that possible? Are you guys with me? It is because their spirits, I don't want you to miss this, have been trained and equipped for angels. You can only see and experience what you have knowledge of. I want to take this slow. Stay with me. Because there's not one key and then I'm going to carry on. I've already started. So if you lost already, you lost. I'm going to give you, I want to say keys, but one key tonight on how to see angels. Are you ready for that? Amen? I know there's a lot of questions regarding this. Should we desire that? It is okay. Can I have conversation with angels? I can hear the questions. Are you guys with me? But we've answered those questions last week Sunday. Go get a hold of it. Amen. Put on the screen for me quickly 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I'm going to get into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. New King James. Starting from verse, let's take it from 49. 49. Listen to this. Now I want you to stay with me. And it says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this is Paul speaking and he continues to say, go on. Verse 15, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now this, and then he continues to say that, listen, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, say sound, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now obviously we're speaking about the rapture here. I understand that. But I want you to get something. Because the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly dimension. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places. Hang on. We're speaking about something that you have received the moment you come onto salvation. Meaning that even while I'm walking here on this earth, while I'm still alive, I am seated in a place that is not here. My physical body might be here, but my spirit man is partaking of events in another location that is not of a natural world. But now in the book of Corinthians, it says that there is a body that shall be. And Paul says it is known as the heavenly man. This man have unlimited capabilities, unknown to us at this stage. But if I'm already seated in heavenly dimensions, and if flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but I've already seated in heavenly dimensions, how have I gained access? I don't know if someone is getting this. Some look lost. Then it means there is a possibility that I can tap into the man that will be while living here on this earth and operate according to the possibilities and the capabilities of that new man while you're on this earth. I don't know if someone is getting this. I spoke about this in the message that I'm getting into tonight. I'm going to bounce it off of the message of this morning. When I spoke about death to self, when you crucify this outer shell, this natural man and its desires, then you are being changed into a different man. Who do you think that different man is? It is the man that will be. But I see that man in operation in my life. Even while walking here on this earth. I hope someone is hearing this. I'm just laying a foundation. I want you to get something. But now the Bible says this. It says that the trumpet will sound. Say sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Again, in the book of Thessalonians, we see the same thing, that Jesus will return with the sound of an archangel. Say sound. Sound. Say sound. Sound. Sit down, sit down. This sound is a high-pitched sound. It is not a low sound. It is known as an ultrasound. In fact, the sound is so loud, it is the loudest sound, yet your natural ears cannot hear it. The frequency is too high. But now it says the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Which means that sound, the dead will hear it first. You will need to be dead to hear the sound. Listen. If you're thinking when we speak about the day of rapture, that it's going to be trumpets so loud that it's going to be on CNN and everyone is going to report, we're hearing the sound and people are taken up. You are sorely mistaken. It is a distinct sound, a frequency in the spirit that only your spirit man can pick up into. But it will require of you to be in a spiritual location where you can catch the sound that others cannot catch. It says the dead will hear it first. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. The dead will be raised. The dead will be raised. So there's a requirement to hear the sound. Say death to self. Say again, say death to self. The question rather is this: how dead are you to yourself? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 13. Put that on the screen for me, NIV. Romans 8, 13. Is everyone still with me? I'm just getting into it. And it says that, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the power of the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Are you guys with me? Again in the Bible, it says in the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus speaking and he's saying that, listen, if anyone wants to be my disciple, that one must deny himself, meaning crucify the nature of his flesh. His own wills, needs and desires must be put to death. And that one must take up his cross daily and then follow me. Are you guys with me? And then again in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All these scriptures speaks about crucifying, meaning putting to death the natural man with its nature. And I'm telling you on this night encounter that this is a daily process. As Catherine Kuhlman so eloquently stated, that I die 1,000 deaths every single day. I'm telling you that you will have to put to death the nature of your flesh. That natural man have to die for a spiritual location to take place. I don't know if I've got people with me in this night. It will require of you to be dead to yourself so that your spirit can be correctly aligned to hear the sound. Say spiritual location. It is like when Elijah told Elisha. He said, listen, Elisha, the thing you're asking me is a difficult thing. It is not an easy thing. But if, say if. We miss this. But if you see me, say if. But if you see me, he's saying that, listen, Elisha, this is not an easy thing. It will require of you to be spiritual. It will require of you to be in a spiritual location. It will require of your spiritual sight to be open. Because only if you see me go, only if you see me taken up, then you will receive what you have asked for. And only then. Say spiritual location, meaning that there was a chance that he could have missed it. If he wasn't spiritually aligned and could not spiritually see him being taken up, he would not have received the very request that he had. Listen, just before someone pass on, they normally have the most important conversation. That is a communication regarding inheritance. What is inheritance? It's who will get what. And the one passing on now have to pass on a legacy. So this individual have to determine, who can I give my legacy to? Who can I trust my legacy with? That by any chance they might continue with this legacy. Are you guys with me? So location will determine whether you will partake of that inheritance or not. It is the same when it comes to the cross. When Jesus Christ died upon a cross, there's a divine inheritance that was released. But I've seen so many lack knowledge and understanding of this inheritance, the divine exchange on the cross. And therefore, they cannot be partakers of it, because it requires knowledge of what was loosened at the cross for you to become a partaker of it. It will require knowledge and understanding of the divine exchange of your full inheritance to see a manifestation of it in and through your life. Say knowledge. Say again, say knowledge. Listen, you will have to be spiritually aligned to be a partaker of that inheritance. This thing is not, I hope that you're getting this. I haven't even started. Listen, the Bible says this, that God created the heavens and the earth. He formed the universe and the worlds by His words. He framed the worlds by His words, which means that even right now, the world is surrounded by His word. That even now the world is filled with His word, because He created it by His word. But now His word is spiritual, which means that even now the natural dimension is caught up within the supernatural. When I speak about changing location, it is much easier than you think. It is by decision what I say. Now I'm standing in the natural. Now I'm standing in the supernatural. It is that close. Listen, in the day of the rapture, it is not about how many Sundays you attended. It is not about how many prayer sessions you attended. But it's rather what you have gotten out from those Sunday services. It is rather what you've received from every prayer session. It is rather of how close you are to God that will determine your position in the Spirit to hear the sound. I don't know if anyone is hearing this tonight. Is your spirit in tune to hear that frequency, the ultrasound that others cannot catch? Know this, that only your spirit can respond to that sound. The flesh is what will distort it. The flesh will distort it. And it's a place where deep is calling on to deep. It is the sensitivity of your spirits that will cause you to hear. And I hope someone is listening tonight. So, how can I see angels? I needed to lay that foundation. You need to get this. Some people are completely lost. I wish I had some comments. I think online is with me more. Matthew chapter 6. Put on the screen for me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. King James, please, thank you. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Verse 22. Now, I want everyone to look at the screen. Listen to this. It says, the light of the body is the eye. Say, the light of my body is my eye. So light is eye. The light of my body is the eye. So light is eye. If therefore your eye be single, what does it mean? It means that you're not standing with one foot in the world and with the other in the church. Unity. Your mind is focused on kingdom matters, on the spiritual, and that alone. Are you guys with me? If therefore your eye be single, the light of the body is the eye. So light is eye. So if your body, listen, it says, so if though your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But now if light is eye, thank you so much. Wow. If light is eye, then it rephrases that sentence. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of eyes. Carry on for me. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore, listen to this, this is profound. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Which means that many times darkness can be confused for light. Darkness is just a lesser light. It's still light. The Bible says that the enemy Satan can present himself as an angel of light, but it's not the true light. It is not the great light. It is not the light of the living God. That's a higher level of light. This is where we now get the saying, let's say for example, someone have made a statement that was misrepresented or misinterpreted rather. Then that individual will come and say that, listen, I didn't mean it in that light. So what light are you speaking out of? Because you can speak out of dark lights, even being saved. You can speak out of an evil root. The Bible is very clear about this. It says in the book, Bible, put on the screen for me, NIV. Luke chapter 6 verse 43. Listen to this. Luke chapter 6 verse 43, NIV. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Carry on. Each tree is recognized by its own fruits. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Carry on. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speak what the heart is full of. Meaning that the light that you speak out of is determined by what is in your heart. The Bible says again in the book of Matthew, NIV again, Matthew chapter 15, verse 11 and 19. Put on the screen for me just quickly. And it says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Carry on, verse 18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and these defile them. I say again, the light that you speak out of is determined by what is in your heart. So if you want to speak out of true light, great light, then it needs... I'm going to give you the key on how to see angels. Here it is. Then it means that you need to fill your heart with these words. This will ensure that what comes out of your mouth is living light. It is true light. It is pure light. It is a light that darkness cannot comprehend. It is where the greater light overpowers the lesser light and it forces it out. And the image that remains with unveiled face as beholding in a mirror, I see the glory of God. And therefore I move from glory to glory. The reason why I move from glory to glory is because I see glory. You're missing it. You missed it. Some people missed it. It is all about the light that you carry. Say light. Listen, the civilization of the immortals, spirit beings, demons, evil spirits, do not care about your office. They do not care about your spiritual gifts. Many have spiritual gifts that they don't even know about. Many have spiritual gifts that are dormant. The richest place on earth is a graveyard. Many gifts and talents, offices and callings are buried there that have never been activated, that have never come into motion, and therefore it never changed anyone's life. Are you guys with me? Here we have the sons of Sceva, sons of the priest, trying to cast out a demon. But the demon overpowers them and strips them naked. I say again that in the civilization of the immortals, spirit beings, they do not care about your gifts, your talents, nor your office. They care about lights. The spirits care about the light that you carry. The thing that is important in the realm of the spirits is light. Say light. And so an important question that you need to ask yourself is, how much light do I carry? How much light do I possess? Listen, I'm about to give you something that will cause everything to be manifest. I'm not speaking about demonically, but I'm telling you, I'm about to give you a key that will cause anything and everything around you to become exposed and to be made manifest. What do I mean by saying that? That when you step into a vicinity, that those around you, their gifts and their callings will suddenly be activated and come into operation just because of your presence. Should I tell them our experience? So me and Gerard went on a road trip Saturday, had a lot of fun to go and conduct a wedding ceremony in Paris. Hour and a half's drive, felt like 20 minutes. We got there and we decided we're going to make an outing of it. Might as well just enjoy. Had lunch 2 hours early. Had lunch, just sitting there relaxing. While we're sitting and relaxing, having lunch, I see Gerard's getting uncomfortable in his seat. I'm like, no, man. And I realize, no, the evangelist is not busy coming out of him. I'm like, what is it? He says, no, the guy behind you. I said, what about him? He says, no, it's a pastor. I want to go speak to him. And I just keep quiet. And Gerard, no, now he can't sit still. That evangelist is manifesting. In a good sense. Please understand that when I use the word manifest, it's not always demonically. The law of recognition is what will cause a manifestation of what you desire. The thing that you spend the most time of, reading, watching, and taking into your eye, is what you will see a manifestation of. I've just told you how to see angels. I'm still getting there. And so Gerard jumps up. I thought, what's going on? And he storms this guy and he's speaking to the pastor there. And they're having this huge conversation. Oh, Gerard, I just ignored it. I carry on because I have to prepare for the marriage ceremony. And so we carry on. That even the groom comes to me. We're just having a casual conversation. We're just speaking about how nice the weather is and it's perfect for the wedding. And he suddenly says, oh, yes, I feel the presence of God so strong. And he's like just goosebumps all over. Listen to this. And so Gerard's obviously doing the music at the marriage ceremony, and he's playing and he's singing. The glory of God comes in, man, I'm telling you. And I bring this message that afterwards there was this individual that came to us. And I said, listen, I just want to say this message really touched my heart. I've never heard something like this. And you can see that this individual is trying to get the right words. He's trying to ask something, but because of what he's caught up in and the contradiction of it, he's battling to find the right words. He comes to us a second time, a while later, and he says again, I just want to say, wow. You know, I felt, but he's not understanding this thing. Just to find out that this man was a staunch Freemason. When the lights off, listen, I'm speaking about a dimension. When you start to function as light, it is no longer light that just emanates from within out of you. It is a place where you start to function as light. And no matter what darkness there might be, it cannot comprehend light. It will destroy it and push it back. I don't care what you caught up in. The presence of God must be so tangible upon your life that those around you receive immediate deliverance without you speaking a word. Are you guys with me? Listen, sit down. Ephesians chapter 5:13, amplified. Normal amplified. Just quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, 1-3. I want you to see something. This is the key. But all things become visible. Say what? All things. I want you to get this. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the lights. Now, I like the Amplified because it gives an explanation of what light. Of God's precepts. All things become visible. Oh, Pastor Martin, give me the key. I want to see angels. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. It is a place that you reach where you now start to function as light. Sit down. Listen. So the Bible says that the realm of the eyes is the entrance to the spirits. So if it is the realm of the eye that determine what my spirit sees, then I need to understand how my eyes capture something. If you're still with me, just raise your hands. I'm just checking the comments. It's very interesting. Now, how does your eye capture things? The word camera comes from the words camera obscura. And it means dark chamber. It is a location where you trap lights that then forms an image. Are you guys with me? Now, they designed a camera according to the function of the eye, meaning they studied the eye and the way that the eye works. And then they have created and designed a camera accordingly. Are you guys with me? So in your eye, there is darkness. And your iris needs to open up so that light can come in. This means that your eyes are a trap for light. Your eye can only see based on the light that comes into it. Your eye will then take that light and change it into an image. But now what happens, once the image hits your retina, at the back of your eye, the image is upside down. So if it would stay like that, you would have seen the world upside down all the time. But from there, signals are being sent to your brain. And your brain then turns it the right side up. Some people are getting it. This means that whatever enters you comes in obscured, but the light in you, the word of God, His living word, is the thing that will fix the position. Meaning whatever comes into you must be siphoned through the word of God. Because the word of God is the thing that will reflect the correct image. Which means if I do not have the word of God, I will have a distorted image. And I will act according to what I see. A distorted image. Ay, ay, ay. You will not get a true reflection. Light, say light, is a necessity for interaction with angels. Sit down, sit down. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, King James. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, King James. And it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Say in light. Now the word meet here means suitable. So it says, so the Father has made us suitable to be partakers of this inheritance. But the question is, where do you find this inheritance? In light. Say light. Say again, say light. Now, our inheritance, the things that God promised you, the things that He said that, listen, I will give this to you, it is found in a very specific location. You find this in light. I need you to understand this. As I've explained previously, angels are spirit beings made of light. So you will require light to engage with light. The one who controls light controls everything. And that is God. The true light. The great light. I'm going to say that again. The one who controls light controls everything. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, and we all know this so very well, King James. John chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. In a lesser light. And this lesser light, darkness, comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into this world. Powerful. So there's a light inside of you right now. Why is that important? Because everything in the spiritual dimension is controlled by light. Are you guys with me? Almost done. Matthew chapter 4 verse 15, King James. Matthew chapter 4 verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles. I need you to be speaking about a location here. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Say great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now verse 17 explains who this light was that they saw. Go to verse 17. Listen to this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the moment when they saw Jesus coming, they saw great light. But now Jesus is the living word. How do I see angels? They saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And they saw great lights. But now the Lord Jesus is the living word. We see this in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Say light. So what will increase light? Quickly, Psalm 119, here we go. If you stay with me. Psalm 119, verse 130, King James, just quickly. 119, verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. Listen, knowledge in the realm of the spirit is measured by light. This means that your level of influence spiritually is determined by how much light you carry. Your rank in the spiritual dimension is determined by the amount of light that you carry. Do you know that when you operate, you might think that you're just naturally here. Your spirit man is giving off something. And the civilization of the immortals, when they see you in the spirits, they can determine your rank, your level of maturity, by the level of light that you carry. But now the level of light that you carry is determined by how much of the Word of God is on the inside of you. How much of His Word is alive on the inside of you. Listen. Everyone can see this Mac, right? Can you see this? There's light falling on this Mac. Am I right? Yes. So what many tend to think is that they can see this because of the light on it. But now imagine that you are in an extremely dark room. We switch off all the lights and it is so dark that you cannot see your hand in front of your eyes. And I hide it somewhere in a corner. You will be feeling and touching your way until someone comes in with a torch and they shine it on the Mac. You say, oh, there it is. But now you will tend to think you can see it because of the light on top of it. No. You can see it because of the light that came into your eyes. You can't see it because the light is not on it. The only reason why you can see it is because the light came into your eye. It is by the light that came into your eye that causes you to see it. How is it possible then, if someone that is blind, standing in a fully lit room, still cannot see anything? It is because light is not coming into their eyes. The moment their eyes will allow light to come in. So why can some not see? John chapter 8 verse 32, King James. And this is where many fall short. I'm almost done. Listen to this. And ye shall know, say no, the truth. And the truth shall make. Aye. Listen to the word. Does it say set? It says make you free. If you study this in the original text, it says that the truth that you know, the truth that you know shall make you free. Listen. There's water trapped in this bottle. Am I right? Amen. If I take off the lid, it's now set free. It's not my fault it's not leaving, but it's set free. But if I know, and I don't want to do it now yet, otherwise I'm going to get flack. But now, I'm making it free. The truth that you know means that the word of God that you receive does not just set you free. It forces you. It takes you by the hand. And it leads you into another location where you can now suddenly see what you could never see before. I don't know if someone is getting this tonight. Listen, in the dimension of the spirits, you cannot see what you do not know. The entrance of His words gives me light. I'm going to give you a key, not just how to see angels. Listen, let me take it a notch higher. Which means that, listen, let's say that I get a negative report from the doctor about my health. What do I need to go do? I need some light. I've just received a report from the doctor. It's not a good report. There's a lesser light at work here. It's made me free. It made me free. All I need is the knowledge of it. You can only see the manifestation of what you know. So what I do is I go Google. Very easy nowadays. Every scripture that contains health or healing. And I read it. Now there's light coming into me. The light that comes into me burns another image. It reflects another image to what the report stated, causing me now not being able to see the natural report, but what I've read. My knowledge and acknowledgement of it will now cause a manifestation of it to play off before my very eyes. The image that now reflects back is a whole body. I don't know if you're getting this. Listen, just sit down. I have 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But there is a study on the atomic bombs that was released over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And the devastating results of these bombs. And they found that when these bombs detonated, that it created a devastating blast radius of more than 1.6 kilometers. The first effects, listen, they say that the energy of this blast was so great, it was measured by 15 kilotons of TNT. That means that it's equal to 15,000 tons of TNT exploding at the same time. The first effects of this bomb was a blinding light accompanied by a radiant heat that created a surface temperature of more than 6,000 degrees Celsius, which means that water evaporates immediately. Anything in this blast radius disintegrates on impact. This is followed by a firestorm that covers more than 3.6 kilometers. Now, here's the important and interesting part about this. The elements that is making this weapon so dangerous and a weapon of mass destruction is known as plutonium and uranium. These are natural elements found on the periodic table. Now, if natural elements can cause that, how much more not the light of a living God, of an almighty God that comes onto the inside of you? Man, I hope someone is hearing me on this night. When you receive this word, it burns. Listen, sit down. There's reports of people's shadows that have burned to staircases, that have burned to the walls. There's an image that burns to you when you get in the light. And it is an image that speaks contrary to your natural circumstances. The entrance of his word gives light. Hey, I'm almost done. Last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Amplified. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. And it says, and we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing. Say continually. Say continually seeing. As in a mirror. What are they seeing? I want you to get this. Come on. The glory of the Lord. Ah, now listen. Because they see the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to an even more, a greater height, a greater degree of glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When I look into Scripture, it is an image, it is a mirror, but what reflects back is not my natural image. It says there that they saw the glory continually, and because of this continual glory and the acknowledgement of the glory, they saw a manifestation of it, taking them from one state of glory to a higher state of glory. But now listen, there is a law at work here. It states beholding, seeing the glory, and therefore it changed them into glory. They saw the glory, and therefore it changed them into the glory. If you can see it, you can attain it. Okay, here's the application. How do I do this? How do I see angels? Here's the application. Very easy. I actually gave you the answer. So obviously I need light to enter my eyes about angels to see angels. This will require some effort from your side. It's not something I'm going to pray for and it's just activation. It will require some effort from your side. You're not just going to see angels. It will require spiritual knowledge. And so you will have to study Scripture. So what you're going to do is you're going to take and find every Scripture concerning angels. And you're going to read it. Now this applies to anything else that you might desire. And you're going to read it over and over and over and over. And then you're going to confess it. And then you're going to acknowledge it. Because this is where the law of acknowledgement now comes into play. Whatever I acknowledge, I will see the manifestation of that in and through my life. You will need to meditate on these scriptures so that the law of recognition can come into play. I don't know if someone is hearing me. Simple. Yet only a handful will go and do it. If you want the anointing, get every scripture concerning the anointing. And you read it, and you read it, and you read it. And you confess it, you pray it, you acknowledge it. Until you see the manifestation thereof in and through your life. If you want to encounter the glory, you get every scripture on the glory. And you study it, you profess it, you confess it. Until you see the light. The light of the thing that you want must come into your eye. So that your spirit can be alive. To see a manifestation of it. It's easy. If it is deliverance that you want, if it is healing that you need, start to function as lights. Get as much word in you as possible. The more of the word of God you carry, the more access you will have to different departments in the spirit. Some people only, for example, and I will close off, I know, have a lot of money. They've got an anointing upon them for finances, meaning they have received the lights for finances. Yet they struggle physically. They've not yet received the light. Their spirit have not yet entered that department in the spirit. There are many different departments in the spiritual world. And the way you gain access is by gaining knowledge, and light comes in. That causes you to acknowledge giving you access. Very simple. I've given you keys to many things tonight, not just to see angels. And I hope that you've taken it in.